And oh my, how these Christians love Jesus. And oh my, how they love each other. That's what we need in every church in our nation, loved one.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Happy Monday and welcome. It's great to have you joining us as we begin a new week. And on today's program, Pastor Bill concludes the message, The Love of Paul, from his study in the Epistle of 2 Corinthians. Now, Pastor Bill.
Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 2:7. Listen to what Paul says. But you know what? We were gentle among you all, just as a nursing mother cherishes her very own children. Here it comes. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you, listen carefully now, not only the good news, the gospel of God, but our very own lives. Why? He says, because you have become dear to us. Scholars, let me ask you a question. How long did Paul the Apostle teach at Thessalonica? 3 weeks. 3 weeks. And he was there 21 days. And he said, I'll die for you. I love you so much that I will die for you. I have to say, what kind of love is this? And let me ask you a question. Do we truly think about it? I'm challenging you because I love you as I challenge myself. Anytime I study for me to give to you. Do we love like this? Do we really love like that? Are we so afraid to love one another? Are we fearful of loving one another? Listen, it's okay for your heart to get broken if you love people. Amen? Amen? It's okay. Our hearts are going to be broken anyway. It's all right, but let him be broken for the things of God. And I look and I say, oh, Lord, you know, that's what it takes to win a city. That's what it takes to be God's whirlwind. That's what it takes to go to Mexico and love the children and all the rest of it. That's the kind of love we need. It says in 1 John 3:16, by this, speaking to Christians, John says, by this we know love. Okay, John how? Because Jesus laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. See, any Christian can say, I love you. I love you, brother. But there's no follow-up. I don't want to be like that. Do you want to be like that? No, not at all. Man, I look at Paul and I say, this is not Paul, but it is Paul, of course. But it's the love of Jesus Christ that lives in Paul. You know what this is when we look at Paul's life? This is Romans 5:5, literally in action, where Paul writes in Romans 5:5, he says, and by this love does not disappoint, because the love of God, the agape of God, God's very own love, the love of God has been poured out, shed abroad, lavishly poured out, present tense in the Greek, consistently over and over, waves and torrents of God's love, never ending day and every minute of our life. No, this doesn't disappoint us at all. For the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. How? By the Holy Spirit, which has been given unto us. Man, listen, we have today the same love that Paul had living in his heart is living in our heart if you're born from above. Amen? Yes, but the difference is that Paul let that love out. The love of Paul, look at his life. What did he say? I have become a servant, that word is slave. I have become a slave to all people, all men. Why? He said, that I might win some. I look at that and I say, do we love like that? Church, listen, let's wake up. The night is coming when no man can work, Jesus said. We must wake up now. Do we love like that? I'm going to ask you a question. Did people have to go to Paul and say, Paul, come on, man, get out there. You need to be an ambassador for Christ. No. Paul, come on, you're a fisher of men. Get out there, buddy. What's wrong with you? No. Paul, you got to have a prayer time. You got to study the Word of God. No. Well, let me ask you a question. Why do we have to over and over and over challenge the saints lovingly, speaking the truth in love to the saints of God, saying, you are the ambassadors of Christ. You are the fisher of men. You're the only answer on this planet to those that are lost. We're the eyes, the heart, the arms, the feet of Jesus Christ. Amen? If we say that we abide in him, if we say that, yes, I live in the Lord, then we should walk, it says in 1 John 2:6, even as he walked. Listen, Paul didn't need any of that encouragement. Why do churches across this land have to beg the church, those that are filled with the Spirit of God, that have the Word of God, the power of God, the strength of God, to be fishers of men, and they're not? Loved one, there's something not right about that. Listen to me carefully. I have read Paul's 13 epistles. I have studied them for over 45 years. I love Paul. I'm talking about the Jesus that lives in Paul. I'm not preaching Paul. I'm preaching Christ. Amen. But I'm telling you, you know, he wrote half of the New Testament. And I believe he penned Hebrews. That means he wrote 14 books of the New Testament, loved one. How many times? I've read them so many times. I've studied them so many times. Mentorship. I look at them and how they, and I say, oh, I don't add up. I mean, I look at that and I say, this 2,000 years old and it's still so powerful. And I read and I look at all these things, especially that verse 15, and I say, oh, Paul, doggone it. You challenge me, man. You keep challenging me. Over and over all these years, you just keep hounding on me and provoking me. And sometimes, Paul, you embarrass me. You make me ashamed that I don't do what I need to do. But you did it, and I want to do it. You know, Paul's epistles have made me grow up. There's not any other epistles in the Bible that have forced me and made me understand what true discipleship is other than Paul's. Of course, yes, the Lord Jesus, but I'm talking about Paul, Jesus in Paul. Amen? And I go, oh, Lord, listen, no wonder Paul, and I can't say this. Well, we should be able to say this. Paul says, imitate me. That's what he told the church. You imitate me, just as also I imitate Christ. 1 Corinthians, what is it, 11:1? Jesus, he says, my example. I imitate him. Ephesians 5:1, it says that we are to imitate the Lord as dear children. Amen? Be just like him. Because we can, because we're changing from glory to glory to glory to glory into the very image of Christ Jesus. And I look and I say, oh, Lord, I want that for this church. I want that for my life. I want it now. I have to say, Lord, I have to say, Paul, I am a failure. I am a failure when I read that verse. You know, come on. I look at all of that and I say, I fall short on these accounts. And I say to myself, would I suffer for the church? Would you suffer for the church, the brethren? Would you receive 195 lashes? Would you spend a night and a day in the deep? Would you starve and go without clothing and have no friends and be in peril and danger wherever you go and your death is with you every moment of your life? That's Paul. Why did he do this? He loved the church. He loved the church. Well, but Bill, no. The same Jesus that saved Paul saved you and me. The same Spirit that invaded his heart invaded our hearts. The same gospel that was revealed by revelation from Christ to him is the same gospel that the church in this nation has. And I say, God, I failed on that. Do I love Jesus enough to say, oh, Lord, I want Jesus Christ to be magnified in my body, whether it's by life, whether it's by death, no matter what it is. Do we love the Lord that much now? Bill, you're putting me under law. No, I can't. You're under grace. It's about love. It's about loving Jesus. How can we live? Listen, he said, I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls. I'll mortgage my heart. I'll mortgage my life. I will die for you. I don't want to lose you. I want to keep you and win you. I want to keep you until Christ is conformed in your heart. It's the love of Christ that compelled Paul. Is that the same love that compels us? And I say, oh, Paul, he says, yeah, I'll be spent for your souls, even though the more abundantly I love you, the less that I'm loved. This is not Paul, but it is Paul. This is the love of Jesus Christ in his heart. The same love that you and I have. I want you to turn in your Bibles with me, and you know this scripture just as well as I do, probably better. John 13, there in the upper room. Go to the Gospel of John, chapter 13. This is one of the foundational statements of this church. John chapter 13, there in the upper room now. Remember, he's washed the disciples' feet. And Judas, the betrayer, he's already, you know, put the sop in the bread. And Jesus said, go and do what you must do and do it quickly. And he went into the night because Satan had entered the heart of Judas Iscariot. Now, Jesus is now alone with his disciples. He only has hours to live. Have you ever asked yourself, if you knew that you only had a few hours left to live, what would you tell your loved ones? If you were going to depart this world, going to the horrible death, because he's getting ready when it's all over, you know what he does? He crosses over the Kidron Brook. He goes up to the Garden of Gethsemane at the Mount of Olives, and you know he's praying. And then we see in John's Gospel, of course, the lanterns and the Roman soldiers and Judas coming to arrest him. Jesus knows what is awaiting him. And what does Jesus do now? He knows. He tells his disciples, look at it. You know it. I know it. In verse 34 there, the command, it's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not an option. It is a command from Jesus Christ. He says in John 13:34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. In John 15:12, Jesus again says this, this is my suggestion. No, this is an option for a Christian. No, this is my commandment. No option there. I'm commanding you. Love one another as I've loved you. John 15:17, Jesus said, these things I command you, that you love one another. He says, a new commandment. That means a new commandment. The disciples knew the old commandment. It was in contrast to the old Leviticus 19:18, that they was to love one another. But they didn't understand the new part. See, it was totally different than the old covenant. This is the new covenant, loved one. And listen, why would Jesus command that? I mean, you're born again. You're filled with the Spirit of God. Why would Jesus command that we love one another? Well, back then, it wasn't a big thing. But today, it is a big thing because Jesus knew in the future that the church today would be treating the word agape, love, God's unconditional love, as a noun instead of a verb. Listen, it's not a thing. It's something we do, isn't it? It's something that we demonstrate one to another. It's more than like husbands, love your wives. How? As Christ loved the church. That doesn't mean to say, I love you, baby. I love you, baby. You know what I mean? No. I mean, it does, but it doesn't. It means that you demonstrate love to her. How? Just as Jesus did. Just as Christ died. That sacrificial love. That's a love that is demonstrated. That is a love that is proved. See, love, this is what it's all about. You know, this church, all of us, let's don't talk about, I love you, I love you. Let's demonstrate it, okay? Amen. Let's practice what we preach. Let's really do that. You know, we're all messed up. If you don't believe me, you should have been at the staff meeting yesterday. And I told them, you're all messed up. Not me, but you guys, you're all messed up. No, we're all messed up. We're all inadequate, but not with Jesus. You see, I don't have to be adequate. I don't have to add up. I don't have to be. I just have to have Christ. He's everything. Jesus is enough. Amen. I can't earn God's favor. Did you know that salvation is a gift? You can't earn it. You can't earn it. It's free. Salvation is free. It cost Christ. It didn't cost us. It cost the blood of Christ. Loved one, listen. Jesus didn't talk about love. Romans 5:8, what was it? That God demonstrates or proves his own love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He proved his love. That's what Jesus did. Listen, and how is this love to be demonstrated? How do we demonstrate it? It very simply, what did Jesus say? The new part is this. You boys and all the church, we're going to love one another, Jesus said, just like I've loved you. You're going to love each other to the same degree as I have loved you. Listen, the Bible says in 1 John 3:14, it says, we know that we passed from death to life. And here's the reason. Because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Death. Man, that means something. It means that love is more than a commandment. You see, love is proof of who you truly are. Whose child are you? Look at it again, verse 35. Here's the reason. By this kind of love, loving one another to the same degree Christ loved us, by this all will know that you are my what? You're my disciples if you have love one for another. You remember the story I told you about 10 years ago? Tertullian sent spies into the Christian house churches because they couldn't figure out what was going on. And so the spy came back and told the governor, he said, listen, I don't understand it. You go into their house, man. There they are. They're worshiping somebody that's not even there. I love that, don't you? I mean, but he is there. Amen? We worshiped him this morning, but he's here right now. But he said, they're worshiping this guy. His name is Jesus. He said, they're worshiping him and all of those things. He says, but he's not even there at all. And he says, and they speak of one by the name of Jesus who is absent, but whom they seem to be expecting to come back at any time. Here it comes. And oh my, how these Christians love Jesus. And oh my, how they love each other. That's what we need in every church in our nation, loved one. What kind of report, if people come into this place, what kind of report would they give us? Listen, you know, we're so fundamental today. Man, we've got it all down. You know, we come into here and, you know, okay, we tithe and we sing and all the rest of it, which we should. That's a good thing to do. And we worship, we lift our hands. But, you know, that's not what's going to the people need to see, you know. You understand? That doesn't mean we love the Lord, does it? We can have doctrine down perfectly. The sacrifice of Christ for our sins. His birth, his virgin birth, his death, his resurrection, the gifts of the Spirit, whatever we have down. We can, say, yes, we believe in the personal, visible, bodily return of our Lord Jesus Christ, the second coming at the end of the age. Whatever you want to say. That doesn't prove anything except what we believe. You see, no. Jesus said, by this, the world needs proof. By this, all will know. Not because you come in here and you worship the Lord. No. It's about how we treat one another. He says, when you love each other to the same degree as I love you, he said, by this, all men, all will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. That's it. That's all. Just simple love. Well, it seems, Bill, that maybe if I just had a few hours left, don't you think Jesus should have said something a little deeper than that? Well, let me give you something a little deeper than that. 1 John 4:8. For he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. If you don't, you call yourself a Christian and you're not walking in love, I love you. Better listen to me now. That's the word of God, not Bill. That's God's word. Well, I'm a member of church. Okay, well, praise the Lord. But if you say you know him, but you don't love your brother, he said, you don't know God. You've never experienced God because God is love. See, I want what was in Paul's heart, which I have in my own heart, exploding like it was in Paul's. That's what I want. That's what I want now. I want it every day of my life. I want to see it right here in this church. Let me give you something a little deeper. Paul writes, he penned that great chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, which has to do with how the gifts of the Spirit operate. It's not a hymn. It's not a wedding hymn or any of those things. Chapter 13 is incredible when Paul writes and he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but I have not love, hey, I'm just a sounding brass or I'm a clanging cymbal. In other words, without God's love, I'm just a bunch of stinking noise. And though I have the gift of prophecy, I understand all mysteries, all knowledge. He says, oh, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, miracles, and all the rest of it. He said, but if I don't have God's love, the agape of God living in me, you know what Paul says? I'm nothing. I am nothing at all. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, I give my body to be burned. But if I don't have love, it profits me nothing. God's love is supernatural. It's supernatural love. Love is the fruit of the Spirit. Love fulfills the law. Faith worketh by love. Love does no harm to his neighbor. Amen? For love fulfills the law that you should love your neighbor as yourself. Man, the love of Paul. I wanted to say the love of Mark, the love of Bill, the love of Susie, whatever your name is. I want to see it here, don't you? I want to see it now. I want to see it manifested because it can. And the only way that a person can have that kind of love, God's love, is to be born from above. And we are. We are born from above. We're God's purchased possessions. He has filled our receptacle, this treasure that we have in earthen vessels. Loved one, listen, he's poured his love into us. It is right here, right now. Paul said, hey guys, I'm ready to come to Corinth. Are you ready for me? He says, because I'm coming. My question is this. Listen now. Are we ready? Are we ready for the one who died for us? Are we ready for the one who took our sin? Are we ready for the one who is seated at the right hand of God to rise up and say, it's time to take them home. It's time to come and get them. Are you ready for him? Listen to me, loved one. I'm going to tell you something about Jesus. Contrary to popular belief, Jesus doesn't need your money. Jesus doesn't want your money. You know, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. All the silver and gold is his. Do you understand? Paul says, I don't want what you have. I don't need your money. I don't want your money. I just need your heart. That's the same thing Jesus said. Is saying, Jesus is saying, listen, do I have your heart? I want your heart, the church, the body of Christ, my body. I'm the one who fills all in all. Do I have your heart? Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves as a living sacrifice under God, which is your reasonable worship or your reasonable service, or literally it's the logical thing to do. Present. That's a picture in the Greek there of an Old Testament priest taking an offering and putting it on the altar, letting it be totally 100% consumed like the burnt offering. Jesus said, I just want your heart. I bought you. I purchased you. We're the holiest institution on earth. We're the church forever triumphant. He said, I just want you. It's easy to, oh, here, Lord, as a, oh, thank you. Okay. It's easy. Sign up to, I'm going to bring some pastries or flour or whatever. Okay. That's good. God, thank God. He wants you to do that. I'm going to go back. Okay, sir. Thank you. That's so easy to do, isn't it? But Jesus, like Paul, see, it was Paul's heart. He says, I don't seek you. I don't seek what you have. I just want you. That's all he wants. He wants you. He wants you. He wants all of you. See, Jesus willingly was spent for us. He's asking, will we be willingly spent for him? That's all it's about. And if we know all about God's word, have it memorized backwards and forward and think that we know everything, and if we have not love in operation, we are the most deceived people on earth. I don't want to be that way. Father, I thank you that Jesus wants us. Lord, I pray right now that this chapel become the Damascus Road. And here comes Calvary Chapel down the Damascus Road. And Lord, appear to us right now. Call us out, Calvary Chapel, Calvary Chapel. Why aren't you walking in my love that I poured out in your heart? Transform us all over again. Rebirth us all over again. Do something. But Lord, I want what Paul had. I know it's in me, but I want it to explode out of me. I want to see it explode out of the sheep of your pasture so we can turn this city upside down. So the greater manifestation of your power will be present as we love one another. So help us, Lord. Oh, we love you. We are so thankful for you. For there is no one like Jesus. So we give you praise. We give you glory. And we certainly it is in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. And the church said, amen.
On Love Never Fails next time, Pastor Bill begins the final message in his 2 Corinthians series. And we do encourage you to tune in once again. Amen. And as always, we appreciate the privilege of your time today. God is good, isn't he? So long, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our 3 services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number
866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.